from Talking Book Services. She, when she took over a couple of years ago, she came to our convention and I sat in the audience and I said, she's going to be a friend of ours. And she has. So, Kristen White.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. I love the lead-in music every year. It's amazing. You guys are wonderful. And I don't know how in the world I'm going to follow Kaylee this year. I just want to give her a hand. She really reinforced a lot of things that we're working on in Talking Books right now to me, and how important they are, and how if a child or an adult has the initiative, it's our responsibility to provide the resources for them. So I will talk a little bit today about how we plan to do that. Good morning, NFB of South Carolina. I am so honored to be here in my first face-to-face outreach activity on behalf of the South Carolina State Library Talking Book Services Library. Since our international new normal began, this is my third year addressing this body in this capacity, and I must admit that it is high on the list of my favorite annual commitments. Yes. The membership of this organization by far comprises the largest subgroup of our patronage and are among our staunchest supporters, biggest stakeholders, and dearest friends. Shannon Cook is the current and exceptionally proficient and dedicated chair of our advisory council. And I want to publicly thank all of our members, a few of whom are here today. I see Marty McKenzie and Matthew Dufell Hoffman, so many other folks. And as well, Marty and Loretta Green also serve on the State Library Board. NFB is definitely an influential presence in library services statewide, not just with Talking Book Services. So, despite the entire world having to make many adjustments over the last year, I'm happy to report that the council has held every quarterly scheduled meeting unabated on the Zoom platform and has productively fulfilled their charge to serve the citizens of South Carolina. Ironically, prior to the shutdowns, the South Carolina State Library reviewed a number of virtual meeting services for use agency-wide. TBS recommended Zoom strictly on the advice of advisory council members based on its accessibility options. It was what many of the members were using already for virtual meetings with other groups, and the agency agreed with this rationale. So the shutdowns happened, and they unexpectedly began, and the rest is history. So we want to thank you, Advisory Council, for, well, your advice. Turns out it extended much further in our agency than just TBS at the most trying time in our modern organizational history. You all helped us navigate that before it even happened, and we're very grateful to you for that. NFB member Steve Cook and President Jennifer Baser were invited to partner with the Advisory Council this year in one of our more exciting activities. The group was chosen as one of only 9 states by our parent organization, the National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled of the Library of Congress, as testers for their prototype SAM Pilot Reader. Don't groan, guys. Now, in theory, this modified Samsung smartphone was supposed to be able to retrieve barred audiobooks on voice command. Imagine our surprise when it didn't always recognize our bold Southern accents. I almost took that personally until one of our testers began sharing their very honest opinions about the unit on the requisite pilot surveys. The others quickly followed. Turns out, it wasn't the biggest fan of American accents in patois, period. Our folks offered their sincere and fact-filled opinions and suggested alternatives, and I'm so proud of their contributions to this experiment. We are unsure at this point as to what the next generation of audiobook technology distributed by NLS will look or sound like, but I can guarantee you all that South Carolina's input has already contributed greatly to the next step of its development. Yes, please clap for that. We're very proud of the feedback that our folks gave. South Carolina actually has many reasons this year to be proud of our positioning as it relates to the future of NLS nationally. Two of my predecessors, former TBS directors Steve Prine and Pamela Davenport, are and have been for many years vital NLS employees on the national stage. And just last week, we all celebrated the appointment of former South Carolina State Library outreach staffer, Jason Broughton, as the new national director of the service, taking over for Karen Kenninger on the occasion of her retirement. Jason is from Cross, South Carolina. Since his appointment, yes, please clap for Jason, please. We're very proud of him. Since his appointment, Jason and I have communicated and I extended the invitation to him to address both staff and stakeholders of his home state once he begins his national service on September 13th. As many of you all know, 2021 was a big year of transition for TBS's service model as well. The long mentioned duplication on demand program for our Talking Book Machine patrons finally arrived. We went from a one book, one cartridge model to a one patron, one cartridge model. Instead of waiting on 15 different cartridges that would play a book each, patrons can now get one cartridge with 15 books on it. Yes. The number of books on a cartridge is adjustable. Just call your reader advisor and they can tailor each cartridge to your needs. Some people only want two books, others want 12. The choice is entirely up to each individual patron's preference. Cartridges are navigated using the machine's bookshelf feature, and we have videos on our site demonstrating how this works. We have directions in the latest hard copy newsletter and reader-friendly versions available from our website or by email. We will also arrange phone calls and Zoom sessions, to coach groups and individuals through this process. Our goal is to make this transition as easy as possible for all involved. And while not everybody is acclimated to the change just yet, the overwhelming response from patrons has been nothing but positive. The transition became official in March of this year, and in July, 3,623 cartridges containing 16,025 titles went out. Because some duplicate titles appeared on separate cartridges and some people reordered the same books, a total of 17,243 duplication on demand items circulated just last month. That represents an overwhelming success in terms of book circulation. As well, many of you all are also Bard patrons. There were 5,050 Bard downloads in July. This means in the last month alone, TBS was responsible for circulating over 20,000 audiobooks to South Carolina readers. Yes, that doesn't even include Braille book downloads for e-readers, large print books, and descriptive DVDs. For the record, 219 large print books went out and 11 descriptive DVDs went out in July. And if you weren't aware that we distributed descriptive DVDs, give us a call. They make a great Saturday night spent in the house, even greater. Most public libraries circulate not only books and other collateral items, they also sponsor programs. TBS is moving into the realm of programs with a number of new initiatives. We hope to wrap up our Veterans History Project with an event this fall in conjunction with the South Carolina School for Deaf and Blind. Interviews of blind armed services vets are being solicited, and we have a wonderful interview that was conducted with your member, David Bundy, that we are going to put the final touches on pretty soon. Excerpts will be shown to the school students and then submitted for inclusion in the Library of Congress's Veterans History Project archives. We also instituted our new mobile recording studio program. It was started in an effort to continue locally producing books during the pandemic telework period. nearly 10 books were completed, including a title by author C. Hope Clark that was available the same week as the hard copy hit the street. This was a major accomplishment. Yes, major accomplishment for the program. Very few local recording programs around the country are able to do that, and we were one of the first. We now plan to work with NFB to find a reader among the membership who will read your weekly newsletter and upload files for inclusion in BARD and inclusion on duplication on demand cartridges as close to the publication date as possible. So you'll be able to get your newsletter through us as quickly as it hits the street as well. If you are interested in participating in either of these activities, please do not hesitate to contact me through our 1-800 number. Our yearly expansion of the summer and winter reading programs is progressing very nicely. This year, we had 45 adults and 2 teens participate, marking the largest number of participants in many years. The number of hours read was 2,850. The number of books read was 697. David Bundy, Shannon Cook, and Tracy Spittle issued our first reading challenges on behalf of advisory council members. And we completed 5 summer reading related outreach and or programming events. 2 of these events were with Rocky Bottom Campers. Thank you, Jennifer. And we have already registered a number of new youth patrons as a result. Our drawing for the Kindle Fire grand prizes is scheduled for Friday, August 27th, with the winners posted to our website and Facebook pages the following week. If you missed out on summer reading, do not fret. Winter reading starts January 1st, as we hope you will make Read More Library Books a New Year's resolution. It ends on February 14th with the introduction of our first virtual Valentine's Day poetry reading program. Volunteer readers will share classic love poems and a suggested book list and mini book talks of timeless love stories that will be shared with those in attendance. TBS has spent the bulk of my tenure as director melding our time-honored traditions with new technology and methods to ensure that current and potential patrons are offered as many fulfilling reading and literacy-related opportunities as possible. By far, my favorite of these activities has been the Student Art Gallery Contest. Over a decade ago, the contest originated to give the blind and visually impaired school-age students of our state an annual chance to bring beauty to some of the blank walls in the state library building. An annual calendar was produced featuring their works, and an elegant reception was held for participants and their families as the official unveiling gala. Since the shutdown, the event is now a fun online awards ceremony with descriptive text used to narrate features of the artwork. This year, instead of a calendar, a keepsake booklet is being distributed that features all of the art from the last 2 years. Copies of that booklet are available for previewing at the TBS exhibits table here at the convention. However, large-scale distribution will not occur until we begin accepting entries for the 2022 contest in October. There's a good reason for this delay. We are about to go into production on a Braille version of the keepsake booklet that will be distributed as a companion volume to the photo book to all students and teachers who entered items in last year's contest. The remaining copies will be available free of charge and on demand to other Braille readers of South Carolina while supplies last. It is our attempt to ensure that as many readers as possible can participate in and keep remembrances of this unique artistic experience. So again, thank you, Kaylee. It was kind of hard to follow you with that news to announce. Please clap. We're so excited. There are so many other wonderful things we have planned for 2022. And as in years past, NFB will be a major force in the success of all of these ventures. From book clubs to author talks, publications to pilot programs, your South Carolina Talking Book Services looks forward to becoming one of the premier libraries in the nationwide network. And we thank you, NFB, for your continued trust, support, and patronage. We greatly appreciate you all. you have any questions, please let me know.
Do we have any questions? I'll take one. We are a little bit behind schedule, so do we have one? Any questions?
This means we're doing our job. Thank you guys so much.
Yes. Thank you so much, Kristen. Question?
We do have one question.
Answer. Question.
Okay. Right here. Okay. Yes. Jose Duvall. Question. It seemed like you mentioned that you can get 12 books on one cartridge.
You can get 12 books. You can get more than 12 books on one cartridge, actually. Smaller books tend to be between 5 and 7 hours. Larger books tend to be over 12 hours. Depending upon the size of the book, we can get about 12 to 15 books on there. We also have cartridges in larger capacities, so that if you ask for more books, we can use one of the larger capacity cartridges. So we most certainly can. It is all tailored to whatever your needs and desires are.
When did this technology come about? Did this come about in the last few years?
It's been around for a few years. This is the national model that they're moving to. If you've ever visited our facility, you know that when we were at a one book, one cartridge model, we had like 250,000 books on our fourth floor in the storage area. And our library is not one of the larger libraries nationwide. There are libraries in each state, just like ours. And it just took up too much room. So when the technology became available to compress these programs to make our carbon footprint a little bit easier and to be able to customize it to patrons, they took the technology and instituted it. So I think right now, there half of the libraries in the country participate in the program in this manner and have condensed their programming to facilitate this type of service model. So we're kind of in the middle of it, right? Literally in the middle of it right now. We're excited about it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you,
okay. Kristen. You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. And trust me, Kristen is very approachable. Caller, she's fantastic. She will be happy to answer your questions.